everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Disney Resorts Podcast. My name's Kenny Hayes, and I am joined alongside, as always, by the one, the only, Walt Ramirez.
Good evening, Ken. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Walt. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. You know, just that all that positive vibe that's still around after our last interview with Denny. Just a great interview.
Yes, it was. For some of you out there who did not catch it yet, make sure you look in the show notes below. There'll be a link to our last episode, episode 26, where we had our very special guest, Denny Sunderleon. And we had a great, great discussion about Walt Disney World. And we cannot thank her enough again for giving us her time. And Walter and I really, really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, we're going to jump into the news. And we have a couple good segments to talk about in this episode. Another Disney Visa card discount. Walt, I got it right. A Disney Visa card discount has dropped again for Walt Disney World, up to 35% off and below for select resorts. We'll get into that momentarily. And today of taping, Tron soft opening. A soft opening has been scheduled for Tron. We'll get into those dates and we'll let you know about that. And then we also, as you know, we are coming towards the end of March. And that means one thing, the 50th anniversary of the Walt Disney World Resort is coming to an end. And Walter and I are going to give our takes on the pros and the cons of the last 18 plus months celebration. And we have a couple other things we're going to discuss before we wrap up this show. But before we begin, as always, just consider subscribing to this channel. Give this video a thumbs up. And as Walter always says, share with a couple friends. All right. So over to Tron. And information that came out today that, and I'm not super shocked about it, Walt. So Disney announced, what's it, today's date? Actually, March 17th. Today is March 17th. That effective March 20th through April 2nd, Tron will have a soft opening, which means you could sign up for the virtual queue each morning. And also, I was a little shocked about this one, Lightning Lanes will be available. Mm-hmm. Anywhere roughly from $20 to $22 per person.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
We'll put that sound bite in there. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, that's Bob Iger ringing the register.
Yeah. You know, what's your thought, Walt? Because actually, you should be excited because by the time this episode airs, you will be in Walt Disney World and you will have an opportunity maybe to get Tron.
I was actually, when you sent that to me, I was actually pleasantly surprised and happy because I will actually get a chance, hopefully, to get on Tron. I obviously, before that announcement, there was no chance. I'm not a pass holder. I'm not a media member. So I wasn't going to be able to get on. And now they announced it. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'll get up at 7 a.m. and sit there with my finger on the phone and hope that I can get a virtual queue. And if not, I'll try to get a lightning lane. So, but we talked about this before we started the show. And this has gotten a little bit of an issue here with the way you can or can't get on the two rides that require virtual queues now. So with Guardians of the Galaxy, you need obviously a park reservation at Epcot to get on the virtual queue at 7 a.m. Now you could be in your hotel room or anywhere and get onto that virtual queue. But let's reverse that. Let's just say it's Tron now. So you're doing Tron at 7 a.m., you get your virtual queue, and you're like, well, you know, I really want to get over to Epcot in the afternoon and try to get on Guardians. Well, sorry. unless you're an annual pass holder, and that I believe you said that doesn't start for like a few more weeks.
The changes, the revisions are sometime in April.
April, okay. So you're not going to be able to get in. You're still only going to get in at 2 o'clock to hop. So you have to physically be in that park to get on the second virtual queue. So it's impossible. You can't do it. So you're really kind of, you know, out of luck unless you're able to get a lightning lane, which, you know, that's also going to be tough to get because that's going to be gone fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to stop with this, you know, hopping at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to run your business based off of the popularity of a ride or the popularity of a park on a particular day, which you created, because you created this park reservation system, which was theoretically supposed to be for crowd control.
Due to the COVID era.
Due to COVID, mm-hmm. right? So now what you're doing is you're using it to manipulate park time, you know, park, you mm-hmm. know, ride times to get more money out of people by charging them X amount of dollars more if the park is filling up or if the ride is becoming more popular. I mean, what other business does this? I mean, we talked about this, you know, I mean, imagine you're going out to eat and you walk into a restaurant and the place is packed and the owner says, hey, listen, you know, I'm really sorry. It's packed. We're going to get you in, but price of the steak just went up $20 for tonight because we're just so booked up. You would walk out, you'd leave. So
unless
I
was really, Applebee's.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, if you're going to do the Lightning Lane, do the Lightning Lane, mm-hmm. but make it a set price.
Yes. Stop with this
nonsense of, oh, it's $15 one day, it's $20 another day. It could be $7 at 10 a.m., but by 1 p.m., it's $15 because now it's full. I mean, it's really beneath you as a company to do something like this, in my opinion. I mean, it's so lowbrow for Disney to do this. I mean, poor Walt's got to be turning over in his grave.
Well, I'll tell you though, Walt, because when I saw this today, it get posted and everyone was freaking out about it, it immediately brought me back to a couple episodes ago when you and I talked about the Tron and Guardians. And that when Tron opened, this exact problem is what we were talking about, is that it's basically you're going to have to pick that day, which one it is. Which one are you going to gamble with? Is it going to be Tron or is it going to be Guardians? Now, what I'm curious, and a slightly off topic, and I think I already know the winner. We asked Denny this in the last episode, is that now when more and more people go and ride Tron, you know, what is going to, you know, hold it, which one is going to be the best one? And I still think Guardians is going to be, but I will say, Walt, as someone who will probably never ride Tron, watching a lot of vloggers out there who have been able to record the ride so far. It does look cool, though. It does look cool.
It absolutely does.
It looks cool.
I actually think it is probably one of the best visual rides for people that aren't riding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could just stand underneath it, and it's the only ride that I can think of that has that kind of, you know, I mean, you could see Mine Train from far, you know, if you're standing, yeah. But it doesn't have the same impact. You're underneath the ride as it goes over you at like 50, 60 miles an hour. I mean,
yeah, because that does, you could see it from some of the video I saw and people standing directly underneath it. You're flying by.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's no ride that has that kind of vibe, even for people who, somebody like yourself who may feel like I'm not really going to go on it, but you could actually sit there and watch, and it gives you a different perspective on it. You know what I mean? So, and at night it looks amazing.
Well, that's what I like, because I have seen some of the videos where you know, that twilight hour, you know, where the sun's setting but the sky's still a little bit orange,
yeah.
And with the light going, with the grid and everything lighting up, that looks really cool. Looks really cool. And I would like to just hang out, grab a cup of coffee. You know, Walter, you guys all strapped up, ready to go into the grid. And I'd be like, hey. But it, like you said, though, Walt, it is right. For someone who will probably not ride it, I indirectly can still experience it.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's cool. It is cool. And I think everything I've seen so far, the ride looks great. And I'm really hoping that on your upcoming trip that you get on there and you can give us a full report. But yeah, I'm a little disappointed though with the in regards to the you know, you're gonna have to pick one. You're gonna have to pick a park.
Yeah.
And but, you know, it like we talked about, it's not even a perk. But anyone who's still remaining pass holder, because remember they haven't opened it up yet, you know, once they get rid of that 2 o'clock time that you don't get jumped, the pass holders will be able to benefit. Because they could go to Magic Kingdom, ride Tron in the morning, and then get their butt over to Epcot prior to, is it the 1 o'clock, Walt, for the second virtual queue?
Yes, it's 1 o'clock.
So you could do that. But that's the next kick in the you-know-what, is that you haven't opened up annual passes. So only the people who have annual passes can benefit from this.
And that is probably a small...
Yeah,
group of people compared to how many people are actually there.
Agreed. I agree with you.
You know, so again, it's just it doesn't make a lot of sense. This is something they could have lifted a few months ago when
we've been saying it.
When Bob Iger came in. He really could have wiped all of these idiotic rules that they put in place and restrictions. And really alleviated some of the stress that people are experiencing when they go on vacation because of this. That's completely unnecessary. Now, the other side of the argument is going to be, well, you know, place is packed, the place is full, so people must not care. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case. I think people are upset. I think people are going because they enjoy going and they have a good mm-hmm. time, and their families enjoy and have a good time when they can afford to go. But, you know, we talked about this on the a couple of shows ago where we said, you know, they finally have beaten people down
mm-hmm.
and people have gotten frustrated and they now are just going to just throw in the towel and say, I'm going to pay whatever it is because I don't want to wait, you know, hours online.
It's funny you brought that up and you triggered something in me. So a couple of days ago, I was on Facebook and I posted. No, not that bad. But I was in a discussion room about Disney and it was talking about one of our clips that we did about the changes to Genie Plus. Mm-hmm. And so many people in the comments were like, well, did you think it was ever going anywhere? Like, they have people so convinced that there was never a shot that this could fail or this could be revamped. And like, what I got out of the group is that like, they're okay with this. They're okay with getting up at 7 a.m. and doing this. And I was taken back. So at least in that discussion, and it's a pretty large group, that I was definitely the minority of not wanting to get up at 7 a.m., not wanting to pay $20 to $22 per person to skip the line. You know, like, so you said in our last episode, put fast pass in the museum. It's done. Yeah. Done. You know? And it's sad, but it is what it is.
Do you think that the people in that group are annual pass holders or DVC members? Like, what
it was a Boardwalk. So yeah, it was a Boardwalk Villas or Boardwalk Inn and Villas discussion room.
Okay,
but you also do talk about other things besides the Boardwalk, and the Genie came up, and I was shocked. So you figure a lot of people, you know, probably a lot of them could be DVC members. But you can still pay cash to stay there as well. So those people did not have a problem paying. I was shocked. Taken back.
So it seems like the people that go regularly are more getting more accustomed to this.
Yeah.
Because you're probably the majority of the pushback you're going to get on this are going to be people that maybe go once every 3 or 4 or 5 years and don't go all the time.
It's looking that way, Walt. You know, people like us who are very fortunate, knock on wood. You know, who travel 2-3 times a year there. It seems like we are in the minority mm-hmm. of the Genie, and people have embraced it and they don't care about paying to skip the line. They don't care. Like, and it was funny because I brought up, they're like, well, what don't you like about it? And I says, I don't like getting up for 6:30. I said, I don't like having that like frantic at 7 a.m. of like, I got to get that ride. I got to get that ride. I got to get that ride. You know, oh my God, my internet's, you know, holding up, my phone stopped, whatever. I said, I would rather do back to, you know, let me pick it 60 days out. And I know what I'm doing when I get there. They don't want that. I'm shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. That's surprising to me too. Mm-hmm. You would think it would get a lot more pushback than it has gotten. And I think initially it did, but I think having the pandemic kind of pop in right after that really kind of put the kibosh on all the anger. I think people I think it diverted the anger away from all of that. And then people were just happy that the place reopened and I could go back on vacation again.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, well, Fast Pass is gone, but I'll pay to skip the line. You know, I just want to get on that ride. And people got accustomed. It seems like, you know, granted, very small data, but I was taken back. I was definitely the minority in that conversation by far.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah, well, bye-bye, Fast Pass. Damn you.
Yeah, it's...
So, everybody, like I started off the show with, Disney just dropped, if you are a Visa cardholder, discounts up to 35% off. And I'm going to give those resorts right now because Walter and I were talking and did the math. You should definitely take advantage of this. So it's going to be select dates from, I'll give them to you right now. Select dates beginning in May and running through September. May 14th through June 24th. July 5th through August 19th, and August 27th through September 7th. And I will give you the resorts first in the 35% off. Now, Walt, I don't remember the last time they gave a 35% off.
Yeah, I it's been a while for sure. Yeah. I think it was
pre-COVID,
right after they reopened.
I think you're right.
Post COVID, I think I took advantage of that when I stayed at Beach Club.
That's right. You did.
Yeah.
Oh no, so was that Beach Club or the Yacht Club one?
I think it was the Beach Club.
Okay.
That time, but it was a good deal. I was definitely it was at a price point that it was difficult to pass up.
So one thing we noticed when we started running the numbers on just a few of the resorts, we're not going to go through all of them, but at the same time, at least in May, they're offering a 30% pass holder discount for those resorts. And if you are a Visa card holder, you get 35%. So there is some good deals going on for later in the year, and you should definitely take advantage of it. All right. So for the 35% off, you have Boulder Ridge Villas, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Animal Kingdom Villas, Kidani Village, the Boardwalk Inn and Villas, Contemporary Resort, Coronado Springs is in there, Grand Floridian Resort, Old Key West, Port Orleans Riverside, Riviera Resort, Saratoga, and Wilderness Lodge. So I ran a mock vacation. Walter and I generally go 4 to 5 days. So I chose from May 14th through May 18th at one of the two moderate resorts in the 35% range. And that was a favorite of ours, Coronado Springs. Regular standard room view, everybody, $266.75 a night pre-tax. Like I said, there's also a pass holder discount of 30% off at this time. That would give you $183.93 a night, which is, that's a hell of a bargain.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. And if you are a Visa card holder with this 35% off, $173.93 a night. I'm all over that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great deal, especially because you have access to the Skyliner. So if you're staying over at...
at Coronado.
You're at Coronado. I'm sorry. But yeah, Coronado at that price point is a great deal. Mm-hmm. And I think you priced it out because I had Pop Century on my brain. You priced it out that would be down to, I believe, 153.
Yes, that's because Pop Century falls in the 20s. What did I go here? Hold on one second.
I think that's what the 25%
Pop Century's rate? In the 25%. Yeah, so we did a Pop Century 1-2. Pop Century came in at the 25%. Now we just ran these numbers off a standard room. That's right. It. Their standard run of the mill room was coming in at 201 a night in the month of May. Pass holder discount of 30% off. That was 158.40 a night.
Okay. Yeah.
So 30. Oh, I'm sorry. And the pass holder discount was 151. I'm sorry. The Disney Visa card holder discount brought it down to 151 a night.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great deal. So when you compare those two resorts, in terms of, you know, the types of resorts that they are, they're both moderates.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on what type of vacation you're looking for between those two. But Coronado, you know, great pool, a lot of good restaurants in there. But you are a little bit farther away from all of the parks, including, you know, Epcot and Disney Springs. And with Pop, you're getting access to the Skyliner, which brings you to, you know, to Epcot. It'll bring you to Hollywood Studios. It can even bring you over to the Boardwalk Beach Club area. So if you're, you know, going out to dinner. So for that 20 plus, roughly 20 plus dollar price range, you're almost really, because you're really not really giving up much other than some, you know, some decor and some, you know, slight ambiance and the pools too, because honestly, the pool at Coronado is much better than
Agree. Than
Pop Century. But, you know, it depends on, I mean, to me, to have the Skyliner and the ability to move around pretty freely is a big advantage, I think. I mean, what do you feel about that?
Well, I would 100% agree with you if I didn't have the incident I had on my last trip in the Skyliner.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I forgot about the footsies.
Footsies. No scratch and sniff.
Yeah,
no scratch and sniff. But I totally agree with you, Walt. For 20, I think it's $22 difference a night.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the extra $100. And we're Coronado people. I like Coronado.
Yeah.
But the access to the Skyliner, and I think what people forget is that with access to the Skyliner, you indirectly have access to three of the four parks.
That's true, yeah.
Because you could go to Epcot and then jump right on the monorail to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and you don't really hear people discuss that all that much. So indirectly, you have transportation to three of the resorts whatever having to go on a bus or your rental car or whatever else on property, the minivan service, Skyliner, Epcot, boom, take it right over to Magic Kingdom on the monorail. But I like this. I got to convince the wife. Maybe those dates, maybe like in late August into September, or even during in July we're going to Vero. So I definitely want to take advantage of this because it's almost like too good. I feel like we're selling Disney rooms right now, but we're not. But the discount is really good.
Yeah, but for a change, there is some value there. Mm-hmm. So normally you don't get that value, and there is some value there. I don't have a calendar in front of me, Ken, but that September 7th is the last day. Is that before or after Labor Day?
I will look right now, I believe.
Because that's actually kind of interesting if it's during the Labor Day weekend.
It's after. Labor Day is Monday the 4th, and the 7th is a Saturday. I mean, the 7th is a Thursday.
So you can actually plan a Labor Day vacation and take advantage of that discount. That's actually a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So, but before we wrap, I'll give you a real quick in this segment here. Let me just pull it back up again. So in the 30% off range, you have the cabins at Disney's Fort Wilderness, All-Star Sports, Art of Animation, the Family Studios, the Family Suites, I'm sorry. Caribbean Beach Resort, which I'm shocked. Well, 30% off for Caribbean Beach. That's usually one of the lowest tiers.
It is. It's usually a lot less.
I'm shocked there. And then you got Port Orleans French Quarter rounding up the 30%. 25% is All-Star Movies and Music, Art of Animation Standard Rooms. Beach Club, Pop Century, and Yacht Club. 15% off the campsites at Wilderness Lodge. I'm sorry, the campsites at Wilderness Resort. I always do that. I don't know why. Then rounding up to 10%, Bay Lake Tower, Copper Creek, Animal Kingdom Villas, Jumbo House, Polynesian Villas and Bungalows, and the villas at the Grand Floridian. So
let me ask you, Ken, were you surprised to see Riviera Resort on that 35% off discount rate?
I am. And you could look into it and say, well, they're trying to get people in there to bolster sales for DVC. So that's my thought. That's why I think it's in there. I mean, granted, most of the 35% off are, you know, deluxe besides Riverside and Coronado. But yeah, as their most recent DVC resort, it's a little bit.
Yeah,
that shocked me, as well as Caribbean Beach
being
heavily discounted, because it hasn't been since the Skyliner opened.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Grand Floridian is also on that 35% off bracket. But, I mean, that's been there forever, as opposed to, like you pointed out, Riviera is a fairly new resort. So it's kind of surprising. I always had the impression that that resort was predominantly full from a DVC standpoint. But I guess there must be availability, because they wouldn't have put it in that top discount bracket. So,
yeah, I did look at, before we wrap up this segment, I did look up your favorite, your beach club, and there was no availability for any of the rooms.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's only 25, is it 25 or 15? 25, right? At beach club?
25. Now, what I thought about too, is since there is a soft goods refurbishment going on, that could be coming into play with the availability for the May.
Could be. So, yeah.
Could be. But yeah. So take advantage of the discounts if you want to go, because if they're giving them, we might as well take them.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Walt. So it is the middle of March. Mm-hmm. March 31st will mark the official end of the 50th anniversary celebration at the Walt Disney World Resort. Are you ready for it to end?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm ready for it. I think we can...
But we're really just going to go right into another celebration. We're just going to go right to the 100th.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And then we'll just keep celebrating.
I'm
all for celebrating. I like celebrating, but
me too.
This was a little bit too long.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about? I mean, I know we've talked about this a long time ago, but how did you feel about the merch? Because I just thought that initially, when it came out, there really wasn't a large variety of it. And then you had people hoarding things and reselling them online. And then a few of the times that I went on vacation, I really didn't find anything that, I mean, a few small things, but nothing that jumped out at me that I had to have.
I will agree with you. I was not thrilled with a lot of their merch. I think a lot of their merch, and I'm talking about adult stuff, everybody, so just calm down. I'm not talking about the kids stuff and that. I look at a lot of the stuff and I'm like, I'm never going to wear that. I'm never going to wear it. One thing I liked, and you know what? I could never find it. And I never have luck on eBay either, even though I pay out the yin yang. I'm a Nike polo shirt kind of guy. And I have them for a lot of the resorts. And they had one with the 50th anniversary logo on it with the castle. And it says, the 50th. They put that out once, could never get it. And anytime I went to one of the stores and they actually had it, like in the back of a rack, it was like a medium. I wasn't getting in it. And I'm like, that is something I would have worn. I would have wore all the time. And it was like in the very beginning and you couldn't find it again.
Yeah.
And I understand, because Disney's very good at that. Put something out and then it's rush all over the place to try and find it, or it's like 3 months later it pops back up. So I get it, but I mean, you had 18 months.
Yeah, you had a long time.
You could have put it back out again. You could have pumped them out, because those Nike golf shirts. They fly. Yeah, I wasn't. I didn't mind the 50th anniversary logo. I know there's been some. It kind of looks plain. I didn't think it looked bad. I liked the 50th logo on the castle. But I was disappointed in the merch. I just don't like a lot of that gaudy stuff. And that's why I like to actually go to the golf pro shops there, like the one at Lake Buena Vista Golf Course located at Saratoga Springs. I go there every trip because I could get a nice polo shirt. I could get a nice jacket just with the nice Disney logo on it. And it's not Disney throw up in your face.
Right.
And that's why I like to go there. So yeah, I was disappointed. I was disappointed in the merch. And I think you felt the same way.
Yeah, I did. I felt the same way. I really didn't think that there was anything really that was jumping out at me that I had to have. Mm-hmm. And it felt lackluster. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like you said, they had a long time, a big buildup for this, mm-hmm. and it just kind of fell short on in so many ways. And it was right at the beginning, at the get-go. It wasn't even like I could understand, all right, 6 months in, 8 months in, you run out of certain things. Okay.
Yes.
But this was right at the beginning. I mean, at the beginning, people were saying, you know, where is everything?
Uh-huh.
You know, it just didn't make a lot of sense. And I understand that they probably might have had some logistical issues initially with, you know, with shipping and all of that, that the entire country was going through at the time. But even with that in place, it was just like you pointed out, the quality of some of the merchandise wasn't where it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you really quick about a topic that just kind of popped into my head when you mentioned this about the celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
This is a company that loves to ring the register. I mean, they ring the register like we just talked about with the lightning lanes and changing the amount of, you know, the value per hour, per minute,
per second.
So don't you, how about this? And I mean, maybe I'm missing the boat here. You can clarify this for me if I'm speaking out of place here, but I don't recall them having any like after hours parties. What I mean by that is like, they love to have events that they charge you an upcharge for. Mm-hmm. During this celebration, they could have had, like, say, even like once a month, they could have had some special event at a park where they would, you in for the 50th anniversary with, you know, maybe cater some food and have like special 50th anniversary cookies or, you know, a cupcake or whatever. I mean, I'm just throwing things out there, but
yeah.
I don't remember any of that. They could have really monetized the celebrations in that sense.
I think I think you're right, Walt, unless I forgot something. But yes, what we're trying to say is, and I think what Walter's trying to get at is that, you know, Disney does after hours. You pay for after hours events now, whether it could be, I don't think they brought that back yet, like a Villains, or they have all different after hours events. And I think what Walter is getting at is that why didn't you try and do specialty 50th anniversary after hours events? And I don't think they did do that. Well, I think you are right. So if we are wrong, let us know in the comments below. But I think you're right. Well, they could have done something like this with very, you know, like something like even like Oswald. Oswald is like one of my favorite characters.
Mm-hmm.
And you never see him at Walt Disney World. Like that would have been cool to be at an after hours event. 50th anniversary, yada, yada, yada. You know, stuff like that, that will make people, I probably would have paid.
Yeah. Something special. Something different. Yeah.
Something completely different that you've never offered before. You know, and I understand. Good.
It would have been appropriate to do it during the 50th anniversary. You know,
yes.
So.
But I got to say, though, too, Walt, when you go back, and I was not a huge Disney fan then, but when you look back at the video footage of the 25th anniversary and the birthday cake castle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Eisner had a huge celebration. Now I understand, everybody calm down. I understand this officially took place in October of 21. But by that point, we were... Okay, there were still some restrictions at the parks, but, you know, so there was a lackluster October 1st, nothing compared to what Eisner had at the 25th. So, and I know the pandemic played partially into that, but I agree with you, though. It just felt like something missed. And I don't know if it was because it started off in the pandemic, but they had 18 months to really do something good. And I think they dropped the ball on it. And you only get one of them.
Yeah, and even now, so like now you're at the end, mm-hmm. and what's Disney known for, especially during their shows and their fireworks, the finale.
Yep.
Well, you're at the finale and you have mm-hmm. nothing. There's nothing special planned as far as I know.
Well, I think their special plans are, Walt? Well, number one, Tron soft opening. Right?
Right.
Number two, on April 3rd, Happily Ever After will return to the Magic Kingdom, and Epcot Forever will temporarily be returning to Epcot for a limited time till it's replaced late in 2023 by another show that they have not named yet. So I think about this, Walt. So we're ending the 50th, and we're also ending two of the nighttime spectaculars that were brought in for the 50th. And they're not leaving because the 50th is over. It's leaving because they tanked. And so, yeah, it wasn't like, hey, it was a special 18-month show. No. People didn't like it.
You know, Disney should hire you because that would have been great PR. You know? Think about it.
Thank you.
We're ending these shows because we're ending the 50th, so we're moving on. That would have been great PR. But like you said, reality is...
That's how you should have sold it.
You should have sold it that way. Correct.
Yes.
You know, but the problem is that they were both terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, you built these gigantic monstrosities in Epcot.
Oh, God.
And, you know, and the show in Magic Kingdom just didn't have the same zing that the other one had. So
no, because I don't know if you saw it, Walt. Recently they just did a cast preview at the Magic Kingdom for the revised Happily Ever After. And one thing I liked about it was like, you know how Enchantment, they lit up Main Street, the buildings, the facades.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time they did that. So one of the revisions to Happily Ever After is they're lighting up the facades of Main Street, the buildings. And they're also adding the characters into it. So, you know, like Coco was one of them in that. So like, I'm really excited because that was one of the things you could take from Enchantment, was something cool like that, that they were lighting up the facades on Main Street. Like, that was cool. So at least we got something out of it. But I'll tell you, though, when I watched it, because everybody, you know, big media outlets were all there for the cast preview, and that Happily Ever After just hit you, at least for me. I'm like, wow, I'm so happy this is back. It's just so much better.
It is so much better. I agree.
Yeah.
But one of the things that Disney's done over the last several years is cut back on the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to sell you on all of the light shows that they put on on the castle, which is great. I mean, the mm-hmm. technology is awesome, and I love those.
Yes.
But the reality is that they had to cut out a lot of the fireworks. Mm-hmm. Which saves them a lot of money. Now they have, I understand those fireworks are nightly fireworks. It's every single night, 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. And I understand that that adds up to a lot of money, but you also pay a lot to get into those parks. And that's something that a lot of the Disney fans really enjoyed. And most people, I mean, I don't mm-hmm. know many people who dislike fireworks. And if you did, you wouldn't stand there and watch the show. Mm-hmm. But to me, the fireworks display, especially at Magic Kingdom, is what made that show. Mm-hmm. And I do, like I said, I enjoy, you know, the lights that they do, the reflections on the castle, mm-hmm. The projections. I'm sorry. I was going to get that out.
I knew what you were talking about.
But the projections are awesome, and I really enjoy them. But you could have gotten a little lighter on the projections and a little bit more mm-hmm. on the fireworks side of it, because you know, the fireworks really is what people enjoy, and they enjoy it from a distance, because yes. you know, if you're at having dinner at California Grill, you're watching mm-hmm. fireworks from the rooftop. If you're at the Polynesian, you're watching it on the beach. If you're, yep,
that's cool.
You know, it depends on, but you can watch it from so many different areas, and that's what people enjoy. Yes. You don't get that effect with
the light projections. Yep.
So, and I know you're a fan of the light projections at Hollywood Studios and their show. Mm-hmm. But Hollywood Studios is another example of a place where they cut out a lot of their fireworks because mm-hmm. their fireworks show was also enjoyable, and that mm-hmm. that's been reduced as well. So, you know, so with the 50th anniversary, we got a reduction in fireworks. Welcome to the party.
Yeah. Now, Walt, with the 50th, one thing I do hope they keep is all the statues that they put around all four parks.
Yes.
I hope that they keep them. I think they're well placed. I think they look well where they're at. And I don't even have a problem with them keeping the logo on it, the 50th anniversary logo. I think it's something that should be commemorated forever. And it's, you know, it's a major milestone. Glad I was able to be a part of it. And, but that is one thing that I really liked about the 50th was those statues. And I do hope, you know, and they interact. If you have the new Magic Bands, they interact with the Magic Bands and they talk, and your Magic Band That's lights true. Up. Yeah. So that is something that, and you know, especially for the kids, they love that. So I would like to see them hang around and show a little bit of remnants of the anniversary. And let me ask you this, Walt, before we close up with this, the castle, the way it looks now, I haven't read anything that it would change. Would you just take the 50th anniversary logo off the castle and keep it the way it looks right now?
I would say probably yes, that's probably going to be the way they're going to go. But me personally, I enjoyed the older paint job that it had as opposed to the current one.
Yeah.
For me, it gave it a little bit more. I'm not going to say more class, I guess, but there isn't, it was different, you know.
I agree with you.
You know, it was just different. And, but I think you're right. I think they're going to just take it down. They're going to just take down the number and put up 100.
Yeah. 100. But I do like, and I don't want to, you know, dwell on this, but I do like if you took the 50th off, and I do like the other color better, mm-hmm. you know, pre to 50th anniversary. However, I do like the, all the, probably not the right word, but like all the drapery on the side of it, how it had the blue and gold. Yeah, the draping. Like, I do like that. I would like to see that stay. I thought it looked good, but you're right though, Walt, that classic look of the castle pre 50th though is, I do miss that as well. So yeah. I think you could find a combination of both. Maybe you bring that color scheme back in. Mm-hmm. But keep a couple, some like the drapery up and stuff like that. I think that would look good.
Yeah, it would look good. But it probably won't happen.
They'll just demo it.
Yeah.
Don't do that. So you got anything else, Walt, before we wrap up this episode?
Well, if I'll just really quick here, I was going to bring up some of the, Iger news that was out there in the last couple of weeks. So Bob Iger did an interview, with Entrepreneur magazine and he had some interesting things to say. He brought out a point that he called the recent price hikes too aggressive. Now, would you agree with that, Ken? Too aggressive? I mean, this is
just a little, just a tad.
Yeah, I mean, he's partly responsible for some of these aggressive price hikes. And then his quote was that in our zeal to grow profits, we may have been a little bit too focused on and not focused enough on our pricing. To make sure that we need to be smarter about how we price so that we maintain that brand value of accessibility. I think that ship has sailed.
I agree with you.
Accessibility is gone. When the average cost of a family of four for 2023 is now over $5,200. You know, and when you're talking about zeal to grow profits, like we just mentioned two or three times in this episode, the lightning lanes. I think that's a zeal to grow profits, but you've done nothing about it to change it. So being a little bit hypocritical, I think Mr. Iger is in this. You know, the boogeyman has left the building.
Yes.
All right. So Mr. Yes, Chapek is not around anymore to beat up on. And again, Ken and I we're not fans of Mr. Chapek.
No.
But at some point, you have to now be a leader and take the reins and take responsibility and stop pointing the finger at the previous guy. And you have the power and the ability to make those changes. So make those changes and don't just point to the obvious and say, oh, yeah, we were too aggressive. Well, then reverse it.
So let me ask you this, Walt. Your CEO is admitting that the price hikes were too aggressive, basically across the board. So why not lower them? If you're admitting that you're charging too much and that you crossed the line, walk it back a little bit. Walk it back. And I think some of these, like the Visa card discounts, I think that's why you're seeing the 35% off, Andy, now. You're seeing all these discounts now is because it's a way of lowering the price without getting mud on their face, saying that, wow, I don't know. But if you know you did something wrong, change it.
Yeah, but those offers and discounts existed before.
Yes,
when they had slow periods, occupancy periods during the year that were slower, they would put these offers out there regularly.
Yes,
to try to bump up their occupancy. So to act as if like this is now, oh, we're lowering our price. You're not really lowering anything. You've raised your price exponentially, and now you're offering something that you already offered before and saying, oh, look, I'm lowering the price. You're really not, you know? So, even if, you know, Ken, you said walk it back, even if they didn't walk it back, even if they facilitated access to certain things, like we just pointed out about getting rid of that 2 p.m. Because that's really like a finger in your eye, because you paid for a park hopper, and the park hopper is not cheap, and you paid for that park hopper, and now you're told, as you love to, I'm going to quote you now, limit your fun, and that's what they did. They limited your fun because now they're telling you, oh, you can only go in after 2. Well, what if I don't want to? What if I want to go there at 11? In the morning or 10 in the morning? What if I want to just...
We used to do it all the time.
Yeah. What if I want to go to Rope Drop at Magic Kingdom, do 2 or 3 rides, and then shoot over to Epcot? I can't because I can't go in until 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And now you can say, well, you know, Walter, you shouldn't have given up your annual pass. Well, you know, yeah. I mean, but that would have cost me $2,400.
It would have.
So... You know, that falls into that window of affordability.
Yes, it
does. And they really haven't done much of anything other than a few, as we've discussed a few shows ago, a few minor things where they've kind of taken their foot off the back of your neck and made you feel like you were actually, you know, getting some semblance of things back.
Yeah.
But it's been minor, when in terms of your pocketbook, it's non-existent because they're still gouging you for everything.
And I thought it would be more. I knew stuff would happen. It did happen, but I don't know, Walt. The longer we go now, I don't see anything else changing.
I agree with you. I don't think so either. I think this is about all you're going to get.
I think it made the people happy.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to give you now. What they're going to do is they're going. You know, I'm going to lay off the last thing I was going to talk about, which was Michael Eisner's comments about I'm a little nervous for Bob. We'll just leave that out there. But one of the things that you just brought up, which is a great point, is nothing's going to change. So they're going to have to hit a home run with D23. Because we talked about this where there's really nothing on the horizon that's going to get people excited mm-hmm. and juiced up about going to Disney because, you know, Tron is great, but after like a year or so, that's gonna wear off.
Mm-hmm.
And where is the next, you know, and, you know, we talked about the Polynesian, you know, DVC yep, hotel, tower. But that's just a small segment because that appeals to people who are in DVC, doesn't appeal to a broad spectrum yes. of Disney fans. So where is the next big thing? So now other places have talked about this recently and, you know, the concept art of a villain's land and mm-hmm. all of that. But that we've talked about that and we both agree. And I, you know, you tell me how you feel about this, but that this is something that is going to take a long time to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And it's just speculation at this point. Now, D23, like I said, has to be a home run. They're going to have to come out with a big announcement, like possibly another gate, which I would be shocked if that happened. But that's really the only thing that's going to get people juiced up for the next like 3 or 4 years.
Well, I agree with you. And then the problem first, Walt, is that like this year is just a destination D23. So it's a watered down of the larger one, I believe, which takes place in September at Walt Disney World. Next year, mm-hmm. I believe it's back in Disneyland, the full-fledged D23. I agree with you, though. And I've heard some, and I don't want to, because I know we got to wrap soon, but I'll start it off now, and then we could discuss this further in an upcoming show, is, you know, there was an Imagineer, I don't have his name in front of me, that recently did an interview and basically said that when they presented the expansion of the potential expansion of Magic Kingdom, that they heard the fans loud and clear because they were very excited when they talked about the villains. So it does sound like that the villains is something that they're going to continue with, but it's years away. I mean, we'll put it up on the screen. It's very, very basic concept art. You know, Universal is expanding. Here's one thing that was brought up by on another channel, another podcast, is that does Disney have to open up a fifth gate just because Universal is now opening up, I believe, is their third?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do they have to? Because if they do open up a fifth gate, you're now drawing away from the parks. You're now will it actually hurt them more than benefiting them? So then they're also trying to say is that are they better off just expanding the parks that they currently have instead of opening a fifth gate? And they felt that opening a fifth gate was probably not there, that just the continued expansions of the four parks that they have is all that Disney feels that they need to do right now to counter Universal.
Yeah, I totally disagree with that. I think that's like, you know, dropping down a bunt. That's mm-hmm. what that is. That's just that. All right. So going with that thought process, let's look at the things that they've added on to their parks. They added on Star Wars, mm-hmm. which most fans, you know, the average fan thinks it was good, but most fans think that it fell short. Mm-hmm. Because the land itself does not have the type of interaction that it could or should have or that people were expecting.
And it's so not they that added big. That
they added on and they fell short. Now they're adding on, quote unquote, a walkthrough of Moana at Epcot. And I can, you know, we've said, oh, we hope it's great, but I think it's going to fall short. I think that's going to be a big yawn when all is said and done. So adding on to a park when your competitor is adding on a brand new park, completely different from what they've had,
mm-hmm.
I just think, again, that's just it's a swing and a miss because they, at this point, like I just said earlier, they need to hit a home run and just adding on. Like I could see them adding on a small section to the back of Magic Kingdom behind Big Thunder Mountain,
yep.
calling that like a villain's land or whatever. But that's going to be, you know, a very small part of that park. I mean, it's, how big is that going to be? It's going to be maybe the size of Tomorrowland or any of the other lands in Magic Kingdom. So from a, you know, it's nice. Don't get me wrong. Yes. I mean, it's a nice
addition. And I like the villain's idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the villain's idea also. But if you really wanted to hit it out of the park, you'd open up a villain's park.
Mm-hmm. And make the entire
park. Yeah, I mean, just, again, this is what we've talked about so many times where we always say, Walt would have been swinging for the fences. Mm-hmm. He always wanted to do things bigger and better than anybody else. And to come in and just, you know, add something on to appease your fan base slightly and also appease your stockholders, because you don't want to lay out billions of dollars to open up another park because of construction costs and whatnot. Again, it's just I disagree with that viewpoint of just adding on to your existing parks. Mm-hmm. I think they do. To look, at the end of the day, we've said this before. They are not going to ever. Universal's never going to be in the same stratosphere as Disney.
Agreed.
They could add on five parks, and they probably still wouldn't be there because of the content that mm-hmm. Disney has to draw on. So they need to stop worrying about what Comcast is doing and making themselves the number one premier family resort destination in the world. Now, they're going to say, well, we are. Well, you are because your competitor doesn't have the same content that you have and unfortunately doesn't have the loyalty and fan base that you have. Mm-hmm. That you have taken for granted recently, many times over. So, and they're still, you know, they're getting away with it, because, like you said earlier, with the folks that are brainwashed with the Genie Plus, I can guarantee you that there's probably going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of people that would be just enamored with just adding on a small little segment in a park and be thrilled with that, whereas the rest of us would be sitting here complaining. So, again, it's focus on you mm-hmm. and do what you do and be number one and stop and think of your customers and your fans and give them what they deserve, as opposed to sitting there and saying, oh, we're just going to appease people and continue to ring the register over and over again. So
I agree.
You know,
I agree with you, Walt. I agree. Anything else before we wrap?
Not really. I mean, I have an upcoming trip, so I'll be doing hopefully some trip review, you know, when we come back, and hopefully we'll get some, we have a possible, somewhat confirmed review of Caramel Cook at Germany, the German bakery, where Denny and myself will be reviewing some of your favorite desserts, the gingerbread cookie and the bread pudding that they have over there.
Just rub it in my face, Walt. Rub it in my face. I told you, I'm flying down now. I'm jelly.
I'll bring you back a cookie. I'll try to bring it back to you. I'll see if TSA will let
TSA will beat you down and take it.
Damn you, TSA. So if not, I'll UPS it to you.
No, I'm happy for you. I cannot wait to see the content from your time there and then our future shows discussing, because you have a lot of places lined up for food. And
I think that
you
switched.
Did you get Toledo?
I did. Nice. Will be doing a review of Toledo. At over at the Coronado, that was a review that Denny mm-hmm. Sunderly did was very, very fond of and convinced me to give it a shot. I'm looking forward to the charcuterie board that they have, because you know how I feel about charcuterie.
The password, charcuterie.
Yeah, and I'm actually curious to see how the filet mignon over there.
I'm excited. You know, I can't wait for you here.
Matches up with you know, the filet over at Le Cellier, which I will also be going to. That'll be my last dining reservation before I head home.
Living large.
We'll be yeah. So and we're actually going to try to also sneak over to Chef Art Smith's again. And it got a couple other ones in there too.
California Grill.
I'm not sure if we're going to go to California Grill.
Okay.
But we're going to do Woody's Rodeo.
That's right.
Rodeo. I can't wait. Barbecue.
You better get that video, so Walt. You better click that video. We need video and we need pictures because we're reviewing.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll get both. So, that is actually it's actually just opening. So that's going to be fairly new.
It looked good. Real quick, it looked good. I saw some. They had like the media event there the other day, and some of the people were posting from there. It looked good. And I'll tell you, they did an excellent job theming, and I can't wait to get your take of it because you're going to actually be in there. For everything I saw from the media outlets, they did a nice job theming. Good job.
Yeah, hopefully.
So yeah,
I'll definitely bring you lots of pictures and lots of info.
All right. All right, folks, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Disney Resorts Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. For Walt Ramirez, I'm Kenny Hayes. Take care, everybody.